Okay, so we got to the last line of Yudches Amar Beis. The Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that there are a number of types of inks that were possible for being used from the Megillah. So the Gemara is going to go explain which what type of ink this was. So first, the Gemara says, the very last line, I saw Ksuva B'Sam. So Sam, says the Gemara, is Sama. And Rashi explains Sama means Zarnich B'Lashon Kodesh, or Fimintu in Laz. Not sure. I mean, we just started just a second. We don't have the English article today for exactly what Sama means. It's Sama Sikra, I think it should be. Is Sikra the next one? No, Sama. It means... Yeah, okay, it's some type of golden ink. I don't know exactly the material. And then the Gemara says, Sakra, we have a little triangle here. The Sakra was Sakra, meaning that the Mishnah said Sakra is disqualified. Amarabba bar Barchana Sakrasa Shema. It's called Sakrasa. And this Rashi says is Tseva, Tseva Adom Shetovim Bo Teresim. It was a red color, somehow that the shields would be colored or dyed in red. So I don't know what this is either. And then the Gemara says, what about Kumos, which the Mishnah said is no good? That refers to Kuma, which is some type of sap. Sraf Ha'ilan Rashi says this. Sap that comes from a tree that had some type of color. And then kankuntum, which also is no good, that the Gemara says is charsa du shkafi, which Rashi tells us the top line of Yutesam and Aleph is sam shetovin bo minolim shchorim. It's kind of like black shoe polish. That is disqualified. And then the diftara, which the Mishnah said was no good, is the miliach, bekamiach velo afitz. So Rashi explains, they used to take the leather, and the leather had to undergo many stages and processes to come to the cloth that we have it as. So it's a type of cloth that was salted first, and then kamiach, you put flour and water on it, you soaked it in flour and water, but velo afitz, which Rashi says, mu'uvan ba'afasim shikorin galuz. It didn't have a glaze on it, some type of layer of glaze. So our cloth is not what it looks like when you get it from the skin of the animal. It goes through these stages. So if let's say it was salted, and it was covered in water and flour, but it wasn't glazed over, that's what we're talking about. That's what diftar means, and that's no good for the Megillah or any other Sefer Torah. And finally, the Gemara says, niar is machka, which Rashi says, min asavim asui aide devak, which some type of reed. It reminds me of papyrus. Papyrus is the Egyptian paper. The first paper that they created was called papyrus. So I went to Cairo many years ago, and they went to one of these stores or presentations, and they showed you how they took papyrus on the ground, they placed it in water, and everything became very sticky, and they stuck them together in the water, and then you let it out and dry, and it becomes this type of paper. You see like the lines are reeds, but that's how they use it. So I'm imagining it's something along those lines. All these are puzzle. Okay, so Tosa just points out the top line here. He says, Diftera, demuliach, v'kamiach, lo'afetz. The Diftera, which had the all processes except it wasn't covered in this glaze, asks Tosos Kasha, Imkein, heach, kosfin, al, klafin, shalanu, sh'dilo, afitzu, sefer Torah, tfilin, megillah. If you look at our sefer Torah, our klaf, there's no glaze on it. So how is our klaf permitted to be written? So, Tirtz Rabbeinu Tam, she'asid she'anu nosin b'klafim shelanu, the type of sid that's used in the process is mahani ka'afatzim, has the same effect as afatzim does, so even though there's no glaze, it still allows it. So I think the point of the glaze, the Gemara in the Gittin tells us, that it's there to try to maintain the ink, it sits better, it remains there better. So whatever we do, the klaf has the same type of effect as the afatzim. So the Teta, he brings a proof for the Gemara's in the second paragraph of Gittin. Tosa says, Amar, dibelo afetz yachol lizdaif. If it doesn't have the glaze, someone's able to erase, you could lizdaif, you could forge it, which means you could erase what's written and rewrite it, and no one will know anything that had been erased. V'shalanu ein yachol lahazdaif ala labim. But ours, if a person tries erasing some of the letters and rewrites it, it's clear you'll be able to see that it was forged and someone tampered with it. So that's the point, so we have that same effect with the cloth that we use nowadays. I think Gemara says, "I should take ksuva ashurus." Another condition for the Megillah to be kosher has to be written in ashurus, which is Hebrew, in the letters that we use. Dechsiv, the pasuk says, "Kichsavam uchizmanam." Kichsavam tells us it has to be the way it was written then is the same way it has to be written now to be kosher. And then finally, the Mishnah told us, "Al sefer b'dio has to be written on a sefer; it has to be written in ink." Minolan, how do you know these halachas? It has to be written in ink, I guess. Asya ksiva ksiva. We have a gzer shavat says ksiva. Ksiv hach, it's written over here in Megillah, that tichasiv Esther hamaka, and Esther wrote it. Ksiv hasim, it's written there. This is a pasuk that's found in Yirmiya, says v'yomer lehem baruch mipiv yikara elai. It's called Rama'ela, and Yirmiya speaking, I spoke to you all the words, and v'ani kosif al ha-sefer b'dio, I'm going to write it down on a sefer in ink. So you see from the Gzer Shava, just like Yirmiya said, he wrote down, I guess, sefer Yirmiya in ksav and in a sefer and a dio, so too the Megillah has been written on sefer and with dio, the proper ink. Okay. Says the new mission. The mission tells us that a ben ir shahalach lekrach, a ben ir, person from a large unwalled city, who travels to a krach, a walled city, or a ben krach shahalach leir, or a walled city guy goes over to an unwalled city. So im asid lachzor limkamo kori kimkamo. A person plans on returning back. So let's say, for example, a guy from Yerushalayim is visiting Tel Aviv on the 14th, and the 14th they're reading Megillah in Tel Aviv. If he plans on going back to Yerushalayim by the 15th, he does not have to read with Tel Aviv, he waits. And same thing, if a guy is, let's say, it's hard to say the other way around. But it all depends if he plans on going back to where he comes from. Imlav, if he does not plan on going back to the place where he lives, then Kari Mayim, he reads along with the city that he finds himself in on the day of Purim. Umeheichen Kari, now a new topic related to Megillah though. What's the ikar part of the story? What part of the miracle? Of course, someone's going to read the Megillah entirely, but just, I guess, in theory, also in practice, but I doubt it's going to happen. What is the ikar part of the Megillah that if a person has to read in order to be Yotzei, if he doesn't read this part, he's not going to be Yotzei? So it's a big machlokas. Rabbi Meir Omer Kula, there's no negotiating. You have to read the entire Megillah to be Yotzei. No, from the time that we're introduced to Mordechai, from then and on, you have to read it. If you missed the psukim prior to the introduction of Mordechai, a person's still going to be yotze. Omer, later on, he says from the parak of parak gimel, he says the pasuk says me'achad ma'ila. After these things, the stories begin to unfold more. He thought that was the ikar part of the Megillah. So the Gemara says, now, Amar Rava, going back to the first half of the Mishnah, that a ben ir lekrach and a ben krach leir, so Amar Rava, lo shanu ela she'asu lachzor b'leile yudalad. It's only true he plans on returning back on the night of the 14th. Aval ein asu lachzor b'leile arba'asar kari mahim. So let's say a guy is, from Tel Aviv goes to Yerushalayim. So, if he plans on going back by the night of the 14th to Tel Aviv, so then he, even though, it's the 13th. It's the 13th right now. And let's say he plans on going back to Tel Aviv that night for the 14th, he reads with Tel Aviv. But let's say he doesn't plan on going back in the 14th, at the night, he only plans on going back the next day, it sounds like he's going to be chayav to read on the 15th, even if he finds himself in Tel Aviv on the 15th. That's what it sounds like. Let's read this in Rashi. Rashi says, Lo Shanu, the Ben Krach, Shalach Leir, a Ben Krach, a Walti, Yerushalayim guy who's in Tel Aviv, if Asad Lachzalim come, plans on going back to Yerushalayim, Kore B'chamisha Asar, Lo Bar Basar, that he reads on the 15th, Lachzal B'lele Ar Basar, only if he plans on going back home to Yerushalayim on the 14th, Im Kodim Amun HaShachar, Yatzim Na'ir, who the kasani she ain't tzarach lekosi mahem b'leil yedalt apisha odesham ho b'yom lo hayasham ain't zeh afilu pros ben yomo. So it's only true if he plans on going back to Yerushalayim by the night, sometime before Avon Hashachar. But if he plans on staying overnight in Tel Aviv, this guy, he has to read along with Tel Aviv. He has to read that night. I think it's different than what I said initially.
So again, what's
the... So a guy from Yerushalayim is in Tel Aviv. He plans on going back home to Yerushalayim by the 15th. So right now on the 14th, he's in Tel Aviv. So the Gemara says, when is it true that he doesn't have to read with Tel Aviv? It's only if he leaves, that by some point of the night of the 14th, he's going to make it back to Yerushalayim. But no, before Amud HaShachar. But if he plans on staying the whole night in Tel Aviv, through the morning of the 14th, he reads in Tel Aviv the 14th, right.
Okay.
So back to the Gemara again. So, Aval Ein Asir Lachzor B'Leila Arbas. If he does not plan on going back to Yerushalayim the night of the 14th, then Kari Mahen, he has to read that night of the 14th with Tel Aviv. So the halacha is, Rashi tells us, look at Rashi, Aval Ein Asid If he doesn't plan going back for that night, Latseis Misham Belaila, he doesn't plan on leaving from Tel Aviv at night, Dehashta Havi Pruz L'Osoyom, he becomes a one-day Pruz, meaning a guy living in an unwalled city for the day. Even though Nikre Pruz, even though he planned to go back the next day to his walled city, he's still called a Pruz, a guy who lives in an unwalled city. The Kari Iman, he has to read along with them, Bein Belaila Yodal, Bein Beyudal. Not only in the nighttime, he also has to read in the daytime. He has to make sure to stay over at least the morning for a couple hours to your davening, shacharis, and lane, and then he could go back. And Rashi, the same circumstance with the guy the other way around. That look at Rashi, will continue in Rashi. What did the Ben Ir Shehalach Lekrach? Let's say a Tel Aviv guy goes to Yerushalayim. Im Asir Lachzer B'Leila Tesvav. So right now, let's say he read the 14th in Tel Aviv, and now he's in Yerushalayim on the 15th. So if he plans on going back the night of the 15th back to Tel Aviv, Shelo HaYesham B'Yom Tesvav, he's not going to be around at all during the daytime in Yerushalayim. L'Havi Mukaf L'Yom, he's not considered a walled guy for the day, and he doesn't have to read with them even at nighttime. But he reads on the 14th, like where he comes from, even though he finds himself in Yerushalayim. So imagine for us, we go to Yerushalayim for the day. We go to Eretz Yisrael, we're in Yerushalayim. So it's the 14th in Yerushalayim. I plan going back to America that night, the 15th. So I read in Yerushalayim on my own on the 14th. If I plan staying overnight in Yerushalayim till the next morning, even just for a little bit, I don't read on the 14th, I read on the 15th at night, and the next day I read the...
Right. I think what the big Kiddush here is that Rashi is saying is that you have to stay longer in the morning to be able to catch the Kriya in the morning.
Right, exactly. Once he says you're there just for a little bit of day... Exactly. Well, no, if you leave, right, if you stay after...
right after. Exactly. Because you're not making it. You have to already, once it's Amud HaShachar, you have to stay till for davening and Kriya.
Exactly. Because you become a member of Yerushalayim. So right. If I live in Yerushalayim, I can't leave. I can't just cut out of davening. So the Gemara is going to bring a proof for this idea that a person becomes a member of the city for simply staying overnight. So the Gemara says now, Amar Rava, after saying this statement, Rava says, how do I know this is true? That a person stays overnight, he becomes part of that city, whether it's walled or whether it's unwalled. The Chassid, the Pasuk tells us, Al-Kin ha-Yehudim ha-Prazim ha-Yoshim b'Arei Prazos. The Jews of the unwalled cities who lived in the unwalled cities. So, Michti, let's analyze this for a moment. Ksiv ha-Yehudim ha-Prazim, it tells us the Jews who lived in the unwalled cities, La-Mil l'michtav ha-Yoshim b'Arei Prazos. Why do you have to teach me, again, they lived in unwalled cities, we know that. The people, the Americans live in America. Well, we know the Americans live in America because that's what American means. So the Canadians live in Canada. Well, of course. So why did they repeat it? And this comes to teach us, the Paris ben yomo nikra Paris. There are two types of people who live in the unwalled city. People who live in the unwalled city permanently, and those who are visiting for the day. So that's why they're two, it's mentioned twice. So this is the chiddush, that a person who's there just for one day, he's there overnight, he's called a ben pros. Mar says, okay, ashkan pros. We found that there's such a concept by a one-day Pruz, but Meukav Minalan. How do you know you could be a one-day walled city? How do you know if you stay overnight in Yerushalayim, you're going to be considered part of the walled city? Svaro, it says it's based on simple logic. Midiparis ben yom akari paris, Mukav ben yom akari Mukav. Once we establish such a concept, a person becomes part of the city for one day, for an unwalled city, why would you distinguish by a walled city? It's all about being a member of that city, and the walls or an unwalled shouldn't have any reflection on the status of the person. So you see that a person overnight becomes part of that city. Amar Rava. Rava now discuss another situation that the Mishnah did not discuss. We spoke about a walled city versus an unwalled city. What about a village? We saw in the first Mishnah, the Masechta, a guy, Ben Kfar. So Amar Rava Ben Kfar, Shehalach Le'ir, Ben Kach Kori Mahim. A guy who lives in the village, whether or not he's going to a walled city or an unwalled city, he always reads along with the city that he finds himself in. So Gemara says, and look at Rashi for a second, Ben Kfar. Rashi tells us right where we are in the Gemara, Shehiktim v'karal Yom HaKnisa. So we know the village, or he gets to read in the Yom Knesset. So for example, if Yud Dalet falls out on Tuesday or Wednesday, he doesn't have to read that, and he could read on the Monday prior, because they were leaning on him, or they were Mekel and the Ben Kfar, to read earlier. And the reason they were Mekel was because the Gemara told us that since he does provides food for the big cities, we gave him a schar. We don't want to come 3 times a week. He already comes in on Monday, Thursday to the Yom HaShuk. So let him come in twice, not 3 times. So he reads in the Yom HaKnisa. So what happens this year? It's Yom HaKnisa. He read already on Monday. then it turns out, whatever reason he had a simcha to go to, he had to go to the bris in the big city. He's there on Wednesday on Purim. So Rashi says, Shehiktim v'kar liyom kisa. He already read on Monday. V'chagar chalol ir. He had to go back to the city for a simcha, for example. V'haya sham lila yudalit. And he's there now the night of the 14th. So the lach is, he has to read it a second time.
And he has to give matanas levyonim second time?
It's a good question. I don't think it's addressed. I imagine the Rishonim probably discussed. I don't remember it being discussed in the Rishonim, though. It's a good question. I can't imagine we obligate the guy to give Matanas Levyonim twice, though. But I imagine if you were to do it, you'd probably get a key mitzvah anyways. Now, Tosos at first takes issue with Rashi. This guy, how does the guy read two times? Doesn't make any sense. Look at Tosos ben Kfar. Shehalach li'ir ben kach kari mahim. Pirsha Rashi quotes Rashi v'afal pisha kara kara liyom haknisa. V'kosha lam liyach sovi yikor shnei pamim. Why do you have to read it two times? And he ends up going on to say, and in a chanami, you read it two times. It doesn't really explain why, but you end up reading it two times. So, now there could be two svaras as to why he has to read it a second time. The first svar might be is, when we allowed the ben kfar to read it earlier, that was really bedera, it's really, but not shatz ha-bedochak, we allowed him to do that. It was a leniency. But if you really sat down with the guy, and the guy said, listen, I want to do the right thing, what's the best thing to do? We might say, listen, I'm not going to publicize this, but it's probably best for you to come back to the city if you can, you dalit. I don't want to make it public, but that's probably the best idea. So that might be the first approach. Really, it's very, very much bidyeved to read it on the Yom HaKnisa. Second approach is, no, it's completely lichachila to read it on the Yom HaKnisa. But the reason why I make him read a second time is because the concept of Lo Siskodu, which is a big sugi by Lo Siskodu. We don't want there being different factions. Listen, I show up. I'm a guy who lives in the village. I come to the shul on the 14th. Everyone's reading Megillah. I'm sitting in the back learning Gemara in the back or reading a newspaper. That's Lo Siskodu. It's like having people in the Chol Hamoed, half the shul wearing tefillin, half the shul not wearing tefillin. You want everybody doing the same thing. So that might be the reason why you have this concept of reading it anyways. Now, that's not so glat because what about a Ben Krach and a Ben Ir?
Right.
So same, right. So this is a huge sugya. The Gemara's in Yuvamos will get there hopefully in a couple of months to talk about Lo Siskodu. So this becomes a huge sugya. We show them all discuss the concept of Lo Siskodu.
Right.
Okay. So now the Gemara says, so Rava already made the statement that a villager, whether he's going to a walled city or an unwalled city, he always reads with the city that he finds himself in. He doesn't rely on the fact that he read it once before, the Yom HaKnisa.
And it doesn't depend if he's here overnight or not.
We don't have any qualifications like that at all, right? Right, look at Rashi, ben kach, exactly what you said. Even he plans on leaving the night. Kari Mahim Balai, he has to read at night time. So it sounds to me that it's probably more like the heter to read Yom HaKnisa is more of a bidyevet. So once he has the opportunity to read it at night time with the lechachila time, that's strongly encouraged. So the Gemara wants to know my time, what's the reasoning that a ben kfar always reads along with the big cities? Hi. Kivneir by Limikri. The big cities. That's the most ideal. Like we said, that's lichatchila. The rabbanon who da kila akfarm, and the rabbis were lenient on the kfarm. Kidei shiyispeku ma'im mazon lachem shemekrachem, in order that they should be able to provide food and water for the krachem. Now this girsa, by the way, is not the change girsa. On the side of my page, I doubt it's in Adam's, but probably Ricky has it. I have a little letter. It should read mipinei or mishum shiyispeku, because they provide food and water, they get a schar of them being lenient. The initial reading of the Gemara was, that we had back in Daf Dalet was, why do they get to read in Yom HaKnisa? In order that the kfarim, the villagers, are available to serve food to them on Monday and Thursday. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? This whole heter is for the purpose of the krachim, so they can have food and purim? No, the heter is for the purpose of the kfarim. They change the gears to me, no, it means because they provide food on them, they get this zechus, this schar.
How do you have it? I have kiddush yaspiku mayom azon lachem shebakrachim.
Right, that's what it is, which is the gears of before had been changed. I have a little base by mine, which says the base in the Bach. I thought it was the word to go. I have a gillion on the side, which says it should say mipneishim mesapkim. Because they provide food for them, that's their, as their schar, they get to read it on Yom HaKnisa, not on the actual day of the 14th. Maybe you don't have that in your Gemara. But, okay. So then the Gemara says, Bahani Mile, when did they implement this heter, reading Yom HaKnisa? Ki'isa beduchte, only when they were going to be in their village on the day of the reading. Ava ki'isa be'ir, kibnei ha'ir ba'il mekrim. But if they find themselves in the city on the 14th, or in the walled city on the 15th, they are part of the city, they have to read along with the city. So it sounds like from this, it wasn't like a bidyevet or not bidyevet, it sounds like part of the takana was made in such a way where they left that room open. that when they read it, when they don't plan being in the city on the 14th, 15th, it's lechachila to read it. Mamash lechachila to read it on the Yom HaKnisa. But when they create a tekana, if a person were to find themselves in the city on the 14th, that wasn't a heter. So it's kind of that they created this tekana where there are two types of tracks. Not that it's b'dievet to read Yom HaKnisa. There are two tracks. If you're not in the city on the 14th, you read Yom HaKnisa. If you are in the city on the 14th, you read with the city. That's the way the tekana seems to have been made.
It seems here that the case is that when he went on the Yom HaKnisa, he didn't back. That's what he has to say again. It seems that he went to the Yom HaKnisa, he read.
That's a good question. That's not addressed.
Right? But it seems that that's the case. Otherwise, if he would know that he's back on the...
You're right.
Then for sure he shouldn't be reading.
Right, I guess so, right. The guy knows I've got a simcha coming up on Wednesday. It happens to be Purim. I'm coming back to the big city.
Then for sure he shouldn't be reading the Shatak.
Right, that's what it sounds like.
Right, it sounds like he was there and then he had something happen. He had to go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I agree with you. Okay. Mar asks a question now. Esive. Abai asks the question to Rava. Ben krach shehalach le'ir, ben kach, kimkomo, kori kimkomo. So a ben krach who goes to a walled city guy who goes to an unwalled city. The guy from Yushalayim goes to a Yushalmi, goes to Tel Aviv. He says, either way, he reads like his makom, which the simple reading is, he reads like Yushalayim. He reads on the 15th.
It seems that there's a whole Indian here about that.
About your this is a huge topic, I'm sure.
What he had in mind.
Balmor, I think it's a big, big topic.
Big topic.
Spend a lot of time on this. So Bai asks the following question. A ben krach shalach le'ir, a Yushalmi who goes to Tel Aviv, ben kach kori kimkomo. Whether he's here or not here, whether he plans on coming back, whether he's not planning on coming back, he reads like his makom, he always reads on the 15th. That goes against what we said before. So the Gemara says, first of all, this doesn't make any sense. We can't take this brisa literally, because Ben Krach, you really think we're talking about a walled city guy, a Yushalmi who walks to Tel Aviv? Bim Asilachsar Talya Milsa. It all depends whether he plans on coming back. We don't say Ben Krach, Ben Krach. We don't say across the board, he always reads like his Malcolm, he always reads on the 15th. We said, he plans on coming back by nighttime on the 14th, so he reads like Tesvav. He doesn't plan on coming back, so then he reads the 14th. Nothing to do with Ben Krach, it's not across the board halacha. So Ben Krach can't be Ben Krach, Elah Ben Kfar. It must be a ben kfar. So what happens is, we reread the brisa, the ben kfar, a villager, who goes to a ben krach, goes to a walled city, he always reads like his makom, like where he comes from, which means always reads on Yom Knisa. He doesn't read like the city he finds himself now. He does not have to read a second time. He reads Kim Komo. To question to a Rava. Rava said, no, a ben kfar always reads like the city he finds himself in, if he's there in the 14th. This brisa says, no, he always reads like his makom, where he comes from. Says the Gemara, Lav v'lav truta mitartis. Did we not already answer this? Meaning, did we not already change the gear so that Ben Krach was incorrect? It really meant Ben Kfar. Here too also, Tani Kori Imayim. It doesn't mean Kori Kimkomo. Don't read it as he reads like where he comes from, that he always reads on the Yom HaKnisa. Rather, change the gear so to mean he reads along with them. Meaning, if the Ben Kfar finds himself in a Yushalayim, he reads on the 15th. If he finds himself in Tel Aviv, he reads on the 14th. And we therefore change the gear so, and this is now Krasha on the Rava.
Originally, we thought that if Ben Krach goes to an ear,
right, he always reads
Ben Krach. He reads like the Komo, meaning that where he originally is from.
Exactly, and that can't be taken literally because right. You know that's not true.
Right.
So we have to change Ben Krach to mean now.
Meaning even when he's an ear. He would still have to say the 15th.
Exactly.
So we say that's impossible because we know it's not like...
Yeah, like a Yushalmi who's in America.
Right.
He reads on the 15th still.
Right.
He's there for the entire month.
So we say that it's not Krach, it's Kfar.
Exactly.
So we say that somebody who's been in a Kfar, if he goes to an ear, Ben Kach or Ben Kach, he always reads according to Beshas HaKnisa.
Exactly.
Even if he is... Well, because anyways they come in there. And then he reads again, or no?
No, according to this brisa, you only read Kiyom B'Yom Knisa. Even if you're in the city on the 14th, you read on Yom Knisa. And that's against what we said before. Rabbi said, no. If you happen to be in the city on the 14th, you read a second time.
The
Gemara said, wait a second. The answer is, that girsa clearly has mistakes. Just like we changed the word ben krach to mean ben kfar, I also change the second half. Don't read it to mean kore kimkomo, read it to mean kore imam, that you do read it with the city that you find yourselves in on the 14th.
Okay, so he changes the girsa of the braisa twice.
Right.
Once you change it once, you must change it twice.
Exactly. That's basically what he's saying, right.
Right.
Okay, the Gemara says now, Mehechen Kari Ad Adam Es Megillah. Mishad presented a three-way machlokas as to what is considered the essential parts of the story of Megillah. So Tanya, the Gemara is going to bring a brisa, which is going to bring a fourth opinion, Rashbi. Rishin ben Yochai Amar Mibilayl Hahu, the night that Achashverosh couldn't fall asleep, he read him the story. So that's the fourth opinion as to which the main parts of the Megillah must be read. So Amar Rav Yochanan, the Kulon Mikra Echad Darshu, all four opinions are darshing the same pasuk. How to understand the same pasuk? Which pasuk? B'tichasev Esther Malkan. Esther wrote down the story. U'murachai Yehudi Eskol Tokaf, the entire Tokaf, the essence of Megillah. So how do you define Kol Tokaf? So that's the Machlokas. Mandamar Kulo Tokvo Shel Achashverosh. Tokva means the entire destruction, the whole story about Achashverosh. And since the very first pasuk introduces us to Achashverosh, you have to read from the beginning until the end. Mandamar Meish Yehudi Tokva Shel Mordechai. No, what Esther meant by she read the whole Tokef, she meant the whole Tokef of Mordechai. And that comes from when we're introduced to Mordechai, Ish Yehudi. Umandamar Me'achad V'ma'ela. So from that point, Tokva Shel Haman. Once we start being introduced to Haman, that's the point we have to read, the downfall of Haman. Umandamar Me'bilalahu. In the last opinion, from that night, Tokva Shel Nes. Because that night, when Achashverosh couldn't fall asleep, that's when the Nes started to unfold, from that point on.
What's exactly?
I don't know the English translation of it.
The essence.
Yeah, obviously the essence, yeah.
They have this by Gittin.
Yeah. The main part of the get I think the main part of the story. Okay, so that's according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's this four-way machlokas how to apply the word tokef to the story of Megillah. Now Ravuna Amar Mehalcha. Ravuna brings another pasuk that they debate. It's a different pasuk. This pasuk is also found in Esther. It says Ma Ro Akacha Uma Gialehem. So the pasuk is describing that the whole. I'll read the whole pasuk on the side here. Akein Karu Liyamim Ha'il Purim. For after all the events, they therefore called these days Purim. Al Shem Hapur Al Akein. That the lot that was drawn. All the letter, what they saw and what reached them, what their lot was. So how do they interpret the Gemara, this pasuk? So mandamar kula, the one who thinks you have to read the entire Megillah to be yotze, how do they read the pasuk? Ma ro Achashverosh shenishtamish bekelim shel Beis HaMikdash, that they'll see how Achashverosh misused the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash from the beginning of the Megillah. Akacha on this refers to Mishum Dechashiv Shivim Shana, because he had calculated 70 years, like we saw this earlier in the Masechta. Lo Ifrik, and they were not redeemed yet. Umah Gialeim, and what his punishment was for doing all this, the Kata Vashi, that he had killed Vashi because of the whole event in the beginning. So that's how they interpret this pasuk. This pasuk, of course, tells us from the beginning of the Megillah. So that's where we have to start. The main story begins from there. The one who thinks Ishihudi when we introduce him Mordechai is when we the main part of the story begins. How do they interpret this pasuk? Ma ra Mordechai dikne b'Haman. What did Mordechai see that he created this jealousy among Haman? Akacha for the following, dishavi nafshei v'odazara. Since Haman had appointed himself made himself into an idol, uma gilahem. So what was the what was received by Mordechai for doing this, this Rachai Shnisa, that a nes was performed. Fine. Now, Man Damar, Me'achad V'me'ela, from the time that we're introduced to Haman, Ma Ra Haman Shiniskana B'chol HaYudim, why was Haman jealous for the Yehudim? Akacha Mishum De Mordechai Lo Yichar V'lo Yishachar. He was jealous from all the Yehudim, all the Jews, because Mordechai wouldn't bow down and give the proper respect that he thought he deserved. What was the end for Haman? Of course, Vesalu also Vespon of Al Ha'is, that he and his sons were hanged from the tree. The very last spinning, the night that Achashverosh couldn't fall asleep, what did Achashverosh see that he brought, that he needed to bring the his book of stories? So Al-Kacha, the Zimnesa Esther Haman Bahadeh, he said, wait a second, why is Esther inviting Haman to a party with me? It should be just me and my wife Esther. Why is Haman here, the third wheel? So he therefore said, let me bring the bring me a Sefer Torah. Bring me, sorry, the Sefer Zichronos. Why? So, I thought there was a Rashi here. Okay.
It's much harder than the first one.
Yeah, much harder. You have to kind of wiggle it in. I thought there was, I could be misremembering, but I thought the idea was, he thought maybe, where did I see this from? Okay, so I'm not sure where I'm getting this from, but I believe it's written down somewhere, that what happened was, in Achashverosh's mind, he says, why is Esther inviting Haman? Maybe it's because they're conspiring to kill me. And he said, maybe, why aren't my other servants telling me about this conspiracy? Maybe I didn't pay back one of them so I can give them the proper schar that they deserved. He said, give me the book of Zichronos. Maybe I didn't give someone the proper schar. So that's what happened. So Magileam, so he did this. Dishracha Shenes, and what happened? A whole nes occurred because of this. So this is the pshat according to Rav Huna. Again, as you said, Ricky, it's very, very challenging to read this into
the first time.
Yeah,
so much clearer.
Oh, that's where I should know if I'm okay. Oh, that's where it was? Okay. Fine. So then the Gemara says, Amar b'chelba, Amar b'chama, bar guryo, Amar rav. Halacha k'divrei ha'omer kula. We paskin that, you have to read the entire Megillah to you, I would say. V'afilu ma'and Amar mish Yehudi. And even the opinion that thinks it's enough to have say the Megillah from the time that Mordechai is introduced, tzicha sh'tei k'suva kula. Even he'll agree, everybody agrees, we saw this Gemara quoted earlier, everybody agrees that the Megillah must be completely written in front of you. There's only debate whether how much you have to read. But what's written, everyone agrees the entire thing has to be written. But we paskin anyways, that you're supposed to read the whole Megillah. Furthermore, another halacha in the name of Rav Chalba, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria, about Megillah, Amar Rav. Megillah nikre sefer v'nikre igeres. We find this dichotomy when it comes to Megillah, that's called on one hand to refer to a sefer Torah, and on the other hand it's called the igeres, a letter. So nikre sefer, it's called the sefer, shim tafra b'chute pishan psula, that if you use a like regular string to tie together the different cloth, it's going to be possible, just like a sefer Torah. You have to use gidin, certain the sinews of the animal, and it's called nikres igeres, called a letter, shim hitel ba shlosha chute gidin ksher. It's also called a letter that it's enough to have three strings of gidin. You don't have to do the whole thing. So, second here. Right, when it comes to Sefer Torah, you have to sew the entire tefillah from top to bottom. When it comes to the Megillah, it's enough to have three of them. So, how much if you ever have your own Megillah, you'll see that's the way it is. There are three tefillah. It's not like a Sefer Torah. It's very, between each one, it's very loose between each of the klaf. Because only you only need to have three. And the Rishonim point out, it's not only in this halacha, this is not why it's called the Sefer Nigeris. That it's called the Sefer, it has this hybrid, the Megillah. Anything related to the tsura of the Sefer, the way it's written, it's like a Sefer. We have all the halachas for Sefer Torah, the way it's actually written, the ink and the halachas of the letters. Anything that doesn't have to do with the actual letters, then it's called the Nigeres. So the way we fold it, for example, we bend it before the Megillah, the one who's the Balkari folds it, doesn't screw it, roll it, that's because it's called the Nigeres. So any lacha that doesn't have to do with the actual cloth is referred to, it has a lachas of Nigeres.
But it's optional to have three spheres, or it's, we hold that, you know, that's the halacha?
I think that you need it that way.
To differentiate it from a separate Torah? Or
because it's called the Nigeres, that you're mekayim the din of a Geres by having three. So Amar Rav Nachman Ubilvad Shiyu Mishulashim, when you have these three, I don't know how you call them, tefiros, let's just call it, so it has to be evenly divided by three. So Rashi just explains here, Shiyu Mishulashim, Shiyu Murosh HaTofar Ad Makom Tefiras Hagid Kimenu, from the bottom to the first tofer has to be the same exact as Min HaSheni L'Shlishi Kim Shlishi L'Sof HaTofar. I mean, there really are five gaps. That's how it is. Three strings with five gaps. There's a, it's an inch in the bottom until the first string, and then an inch between the two strings, and then an inch between the other strings, then another inch on top. There are really five gaps. Toes on the bottom says there is another opinion that thinks no. They have to actually have three,
so
even
four gaps.
End up being four.
You're
right, four gaps. So four gaps exactly. So I'm sorry. So there have to be four gaps. So according to Rashi, there are four gaps, but the gap between the bottom to the first sphere is equal to the gaps between the spheres as well. Tosos has a different pshat, though. Tosos says that he quotes a pshat in the last line, which is not what he holds, though. Some say that you put the gid on the bottom of the, you tie the bottom of the cloth, and one on the top, and one in the center.
Middle.
You only have two gaps.
Who holds that?
He says there are mefarshim, but we don't hold that way. The very last two lines of Tosos, he says, there's such an opinion. Okay. The Gemara says now on the bottom, Amar Rav Yehuda, all ksuvim together. You have Esther, you have Eicha, you have Shiashim, you have Kuelis, Rus. So, if you read such a Megillah, you're not Yotze. Megillah has to be separate sefer, has to be in Igeres. Amar Rava, Lo Amrin Elo Dilo Michsar Miyasre Purta. It's only true if the cloth in Megillah, it's no more or no less. When you, like, let's say, pull the whole scroll out, the top and the bottom are completely equal, all the cloth are the same. Aval, but in Mechase Umiyase, let's say the cloth of Megillah is shorter than the rest of them, or it's longer, it's distinct, even though it's connected to it, and less than Ba, this halacha is not true. You can read the Megillah's Esther if it's in the Sefer, if it's in a Sefer of Ksuvim, as long as it has different size cloth for the other ones. Now, Levi Bar Shmuel Havaka Kari Kameh de Rav Yehuda, the Megillah. He was once reading in front of Yehuda in the Megillah, Haksuva Bein Haksuvim. So how could you do this? Amr lei, hare amru hakorei bebegila haksuv bin haksuvim liyatsa. Didn't we already have a halacha that one's not allowed to do this? And I don't think there's a response here, but I think that's just the halacha. So Amr Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan hakorei bebegila haksuv bin haksuvim liyatsa. So he says the same thing: a person who can't read a megillah that is attached to, between the rest of ksuvim, umachale amocha, and he ended up look at Rashi says top line umachale amocha. After he taught this halacha, he hit himself on his forehead. He had contradicted something he had said, and he qualified what he had said. The Gemara says, "It's only by a tzibur. If you're reading in the tzibur, you cannot use a megillah that's part of a larger ksuvim. But if a person is reading biyachidus, apparently you can read from a megillah that came part of ksuvim. Not sure if you could find them even like this. Do they exist? I don't know. I know shuls, last shuls have Nevi'im they use for Haftorah, but those are just Nevi'im.
But they have the full Nevi'im, or they have...
No, it has Melachim, it has Shoftim, it has...
But I'm saying the separate Haftorahs that they did from Klav, it's just the Haftorah, right? It's not the full Sefer Nevi'im. Right?
No, it's a full... It's not Nevi'im, it's a full Sefer Yeshua, and there's a full Sefer Shoftim, there's a full Sefer Melachim.
Is it?
Yeah. I've looked through, you have to find where it is. It's not just the...
So that's all the cases where they did from the Klav?
Yeah, the whole Sefer's there. Now,
I think it was Vilna Gaon who started that thing.
He was very, very makbid on it, yeah.
Yeah.
He's also makbid on for Megillah also. He would say a bracha when you read from a klaf, on Shiashirim and Rus, and not every shul does that. But I've never seen a Nevi'im, all the Nevi'im together, of Yeshua and Shoftim and Shmuel and Melachim all together. I've never seen that. I'm not sure if they exist. You certainly can if you want. But I've never seen other. I've seen the five Megillahs in separate cloth. I never saw like Divrei Yomim or Daniel or Ezra Nechemia in. But I guess there's no reason for somebody to do that. You know, read from those. Okay, so Amar Rava, Amar Rabbi Chia rather, Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, another halacha in his name regarding. It sounds like regarding Megillah. We'll see. Shir HaTafar Halacha Moshe Misinar. The space of the between the sewings. Is halacha Moshe Sinai. The Torah from Yiriel shall say for Torah lechaber niachad misharin b'tafar lamala ulmata. When it comes to sefer Torah and you sew together, you have to leave a little bit on top, a little bit on the bottom. So that's halacha Moshe Sinai. So umachalab amucha. Again, he hits himself on his forehead. Says lo amru elakadei shali karet. Not true. It's not halacha Moshe Sinai. It's a practical reason. So it shouldn't rip. If it's too tight and they start doing the hag with the galila, it might cause it to rip if it's too much. But if you leave it, give it some room, some looseness, it allows it to bend a little bit so it won't rip. Reminds me of anyone familiar with the concept of resonance from the learning physics. that a bridge, you make a bridge has to have a certain amount of leeway from the wind. If it's been a bridge in traffic, you hear, feel it move. Because if it was completely tight, it's going to move from the wind and just completely crack. The first bridge they made like this, it broke because they didn't know this concept. So you have to allow for it to move a little bit. So here too also, the Sefer Torah has to be able to give it a little bit, so when you do Hagba, it's not going to just rip. Okay, by the way, the top Tosas writes this concept of Shir HaTafer Halacha Moshe Sinai, that you have to leave a little bit, on top and the bottom. It says Tosas Nira Da'af B'Megillah U'B'Shar Svarim Binin Shir HaTafer came in time of Havei Kadesh Leikarev. If the reason is because it shouldn't rip, so this applies to all Megillahs and all Sefer Torah, all Svarim. That's consistent with what Tosas writes in the previous page. Because Tosas in the previous page, I told you, we didn't look inside, says there is an opinion that says you have to sew on the bottom and the top mamish and one in the middle, which doesn't allow for anything. But now that we know this halacha, that the whole point is so it shouldn't rip, so even by Megillah, you shouldn't do it dafka on the top. You should leave space before putting in and having a total of four gaps. So that Tosas is consistent. The Gemara now says another halacha in the name of Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ilmalei nishtayar, completely nothing to do with what we're talking about. Ilmalei nishtayar b'mara shamed ba Moshe v'Eliyahu. Had there been simply kimali neka of machat, if there's a tiny sadekis, a tiny crack in the cave, where Akash Baruch Hu had appeared, at least the back of him, appeared to Moshe and Eliyahu, where Rashi quotes the halacha, the Pesukim, Ma'ara Shamar Bamoshe, Kishavar Kadosh Baruch Hu Lefanov Shinemar Vesamticha B'Nikras Hatzur, when Akash Baruch Hu passed in front of the rock to Moshe Benu, Ve'Eliyahu Afhu Amud Be'Oso Ma'ara, he was also in that very same cave, Vavar Akash Baruch Hu Lefanov Shinemar Vaivo Shamel Ma'ara, Yomar Tzeva Matah Bahar V'Hinei Hashem Over. So both Eliyahu and Moshe were able to see the back of Akash Baruch Hu in this very same cave. Had there been a little crack allowing some of the light to come out, says the Gemara, Lo ayu yicholim la'amud mipnei ha'ora. We wouldn't be able to stand because of the powerful light that passed through the crack. Shenamar ki lo yarenu ahadim v'chai. Pasuk in Torah tells us that a person cannot see me, says Hashem, and live. So why did Moshe and Eliyahu, why were they able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Clearly they were above, way beyond a regular person. Eliyahu became a malach, whatever that means exactly, and Moshe Benu was also kemalach. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Valeim kechol dvar masher diber Hashem imachim, bahar, and on them, like the words I spoke to, Hashem spoke to you on the mountain. So what does that mean? Melamed sheheru HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Moshe benu, diktukei Torah, which Rashi tells us to mean is ribuyin ve'esen ve'gamin, mutin achin v'rakin, certain words like es and gam which include, and certain excluding words such as achin v'rakin which exclude things, and the dukdukei sofrim, and Rashi says shedukdukei achronim milashon mishnas harishonim, that what the achronim are being medayik from the earlier languages of earlier generations, uma dukdukei mashi hasofrim asidin l'chadish, and that what the sofrim are going to be mechadish in the future, uma nihu mikra megillah. So this tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught everything. This is one of the Mishnayos, that Moshe was taught every single halacha, and some say so far to say that he learned every single machlokas that was going to be said. He knew every possible thing. This is the concept of Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that we have machlokas. They're both true because Moshe Rabbeinu was taught everything. It was all there, Kabbalah Sator. He saw every possible thing, every machlokas, every diktuk, every diuk, every chiddush, he was taught. Very good. Exactly. A number of years ago, I gave a pshat on that, a bit of an academic pshat, but there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks about that the ksav has changed from Ivri to Ashuris, back to Ivri to Ashuris. Right. So I suggested then that it's possible that the ksav that Moshe Rabbeinu used was different than the ksav that Rabbi Kiva had. Because according to one opinion, so he didn't have a ksav, he didn't know what he was even looking. In terms of the concept, that he knew the concepts, but the ksav, he didn't know how to darshan the concepts. That's one pshat. But another pshat would be, no, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't taught everything. There's the Yam Shah Shlomo in his Akdama, to the Sefer called Yam Shah Shlomo, he's a late Achron. So he writes, in a beautiful Akdama, the concept of Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, what happened was, at Kabbalah Satorah, there were, I don't remember the number, I think it's 50 tzinoros. There are 50, pipes of chachma coming out. And each person was able to tap into, we were all there, each neshama was there, we all tapped into a certain pipe that, a tzinor that really connected to us most. So, it was all true, so it wasn't mean that Moshe was given everything. He didn't know everything that was going to Mechadish. He was given the tools, how to darshan, all you'd give him midas, shen, torah, and jeshesh behem. Kavachomers and gzer shavas, the tools. How to apply the tools, that he wasn't told. But that's what it means. He was given all the tools, but not every single chiddush. That's a completely opposite approach. Those are two extreme approaches when it comes to Elu v'Elu Devar Lechem Chayim. Now there's a machlokas here. The Gemara tells us that, so what was the chiddush that was taught? The chiddush was Mikra Megillah. So the Rishonim say, what do you mean? There are many more chiddushim. We have so many more gzeros and mitzvahs that were added on, not only Megillah. So some say, in Echnami, we just give Mikra Megillah as an example because we're talking about Maseches Megillah, but in Echnami, he was told all the other chiddushim. While others say, no, Mikra Megillah is the only chiddush. All the other derabbanans are all simply extensions or siyagim, safeguards, according to already existing mitzvahs. Like the Gemara always says, that every chacham, every din derabbanan is really modeled after deraisa. So there really is no chiddush other than Megillah. Everything else is really modeled after a previously created deraisa. Okay. Well, my clock is wrong than my watch. Okay. 6:50 ready. Okay, that's I didn't realize. Okay. Mishnah says Hakol Ksheirin Lekros Es Megillachus Mecher Shol Tevakotem. Everyone's able to read the Megillah except for a someone who's deaf, someone who doesn't have the proper das, and a katan. Rabbi Huda Mach Shabakatan. Rabbi Huda permitted the use that a katan can read the Megillah. So Man Tana Cheresh Dieved Namilo. Who is the opinion that thinks a Cheresh, even Dieved, is not allowed to read the Megillah? So Amar Rav Masna Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi is the one who thinks a Cheresh cannot read. He says Shema Vlo Hishmiel Lo Aznayata. The Tanakhama thinks a person reads Shema and doesn't hear what he says, he's Yotze. Rabbi Yosi Amar Lo Yotze, you're not Yotze. Because you have to hear what you say. So to hear by the Megillah, you have to read what you say. A Cheresh is possible from reading the Megillah. Where it says, Mimai, Rabbi Yosi, how do you know it's Rabbi Yosi? U Dieved Namilo, and Dieved doesn't work. Dilma Rabbi Hudahi, Ulachachila Hudulaha, Dieved Shabar Dami. Maybe Rabbi Huda authored the Mishnah, and he said, Lichachila, a Cheresh shouldn't read it. But b'dieved, if he reads it, it's okay. So Gemara says, "Lo sakadaitrach." You wouldn't think.
This is talking about the one in brachas, not in ours.
Well, it's talking about the one in brachas, yeah. No, talking about the one in. No, the our mission in Megillah. So maybe really, when it says the cheresh shouldn't read it, it's only chachila the cheresh shouldn't read it. But b'dieved, just like Rabbi Yehuda permits it, right? So Rabbi Yehuda permits a cheresh by Shema, even though you don't hear it. So to b'dieved, he permits a cheresh to read a Megillah. The Gemara says, "No one would ever think that because the Katsani Cheresh Dumi the Shote Vikatan. We have a list here grouping the three together, and the Cheresh has to be similar to a Shote and a Katan. Ma Shote Vikatan Dieven Ami Lo. Just like B'dieved, a Katan doesn't work and a Shote doesn't work. Af Cheresh Dieven Ami Lo. So too, when we say a Cheresh is disqualified in Mishnah, it must be talking about even on a B'dieved level, a Cheresh is disqualified, like the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. Gemara says, "What do you mean? Dilma Hakadisa Hakadisa." Whoever said the list has to be completely uniform? Maybe when it comes to katan and shoten and katan, it's possible even b'dieved. But maybe when it comes to cheresh, it's kasher b'dieved. So Gemara says, no, I'll tell you another reason why Rabbi Yehuda can't be the author of the Tanakhama. A very simple reason. B'dikasani Sefer, from the second half of the Mishnah, it says, Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda permits a katan. So how can Rabbi Yehuda be the author of the Mishnah if he's only introduced in the second half? Right. And furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda says a katan's good, and this Reisha says a katan is no good. The Gemara says, Michal Reish Lav Rabbi Huda. Clearly, Rabbi Huda didn't author the beginning, so it must be Rabbi Yosi who does not allow a Cheresh to read Shema, so too a Cheresh can't read the Megillah. The Gemara says, Dilma, maybe you could read Kula Rabbi Huda. Maybe Rabbi Huda authored the entire Mishnah. Mi Dami Reish L'Psula, V'Seifa, Mi Dami. Is it similar? Reish L'Psula. That's the next line. That you jumped. Again, Lav Rabbi Huda. Dilma Kula Rabbi Huda. Made the holdings Rabbi Huda. This, it says it twice. Go one a line above that. Dilma Kula Rabbi Huda. By the Aleph in the Gemara. The
Okay.
So Dilma Kula Rabbi Huda. Gemara says, how could you say Rabbi Huda authored the entire Mishnah? Mi dami reisha l'psula sefer l'chshera. The first reisha says that a katan can't read it, and the sefer says that a katan can read it. So that can't be Rabbi Huda. Couldn't write the whole Mishnah. There's a stira. Dilma Kula Rabbi Huda. Maybe the holdings Rabbi Huda. Vitrei gavni katan katanilam. And there are two types of katanim. V'chasur mechzer, and there's something missing in the Mishnah, and we should read the Mishnah as follows. Hachi katani, hakol k'shein l'krosas Megillah. Everybody can read the Megillah, chutz michei shot v'katan, except for these three. Bamed v'amurim, which type of katan cannot read it? Katan shlo gil achinach, a child who's under the age of 6, for example. Avav katan shigil achinach, age of 7 and above, or it could be older, depending on the level of achinach. Afilu l'chachila, even l'chachila, a katan above the age of achinach, can read it. Rabbi Huda machshir b'katan. Rabbi Huda permits a katan. So Rabbi Huda authored the entire Mishnah. He therefore permits a cheresh. He therefore permits a cheresh on a b'dieved level. He permits it, but not l'chachila. And the katan, the two types of katanim. The Gemara says, wait a second, why are you so compelled to say this, Rabbi Yehuda? B'mayo kimtik Rabbi Yehuda v'di'evet. So now that we established the Mishnah to be Rabbi Yehuda, and b'di'evet echeresh works, elaha...
I'm sorry, what is the problem of saying that it's a Rabbi Yossi?
It wasn't a problem. The Gemara just likes... It just more want to know, does it have to be that way?
They want to unify the Mishnah, they'd rather have the Mishnah all from one.
No, whenever the Gemara wants to prove something, you want to know, is it 100%? So the Gemara just always entertains the other possibility. Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, well, is it? Maybe it is, and back and forth.
Right,
the Gemara has not been convinced yet, it's not entirely Rabbi Yehuda.
There's no problem saying that it's Rabbi Yehuda.
Okay. It's preferable to make Rabbi Yehuda, because we pass him in that Mishnah back here.
Okay, so that's the Tosfos Dibur Maskav Dilma. Okay, so we actually prefer to make it that way. That's why we're trying so hard. So the Gemara says, "B'mayo kimta k'Rabbi Yehuda v'di'evet." Why are we saying our Misha is like Rabbi Yehuda? And then we're therefore forced to say the Lacha by Shema, where Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to hear it, is only v'di'evet. Because when you read Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't have to hear Shema, it sounds like the Chachila, you could just whisper it very quietly. But now we have to say, no, it only says v'di'evet or Yotze. B'lechachila, Rabbi Yehuda has to say, you're supposed to hear what you're saying by Shema, in order to understand the mission here also, that l'chachila cheresh is no good when you don't hear it, but b'di'evet it works. It's very, very hard to say that. So if that's the case, we're saying if Yehuda talks only b'di'evet, are yotze if you don't hear Shema, we're going to have the following problem. So the Gemara says, that what's the problem? Elohad the Tani, the Brisa tells us that Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, cheresh hamedaber v'eino shamea, cheresh who could speak but cannot hear, torim l'chachila, can l'chachila take truma? And the reason being is because the bracha. You learned the Gemara in brachos yesterday?
No, I learned
the Mishnah.
The Mishnah I started yesterday.
Truma. The Gemara says if you see.
It's only if he doesn't hear and he doesn't speak and doesn't hear, but if he one of the others he
hears but doesn't speak.
Yeah, but the evidence already it's done.
So the Gemara says when you see the same concept in two different places, that means you're on the right path. It's a good sign. That's what he says. So, I'm serious. That's what when I was in Shanah, that the guy told me. Some guy I was learning with. Okay, so what's the significance of Chuma being able to say anything? So Rashi tells us, Elohad Tanya Torim, Afa Pishu Tzarech Levarich, even though you have to say Bracha, Vein Oznav Shomas Bracha Shohu Motzi Befiv, even though you don't hear it, you can still say Bracha. Now this sugya, the Gemara in Brachos, serves to be a raya that Birchas Hanenin might be a deraisa. There's a whole shtick of Torah based on this, that there might be a concept that Birchas might be a deraisa. Otherwise, who cares if we don't say the bracha of Chuma? So that's what the halacha is. Okay. Now, who says the halacha that you don't have to say the lichachila, you don't have to hear the bracha? Money. If Rabbi Yehuda authored this mission in Chumos, the Eved in lichachila lo. He says only the Eved are you yotzi if you don't hear. But lechachila, Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to hear the words according to what we're saying, that we're trying to say the Mishnah here in Megillah is according to Rabbi Yehuda. And E Rabbi Yossi, Dievan Amilo, according to Rabbi Yossi, if you don't say the bracha, you're not Yotze with the Eved. So they bring a rye from here. It's a bracha. Bracha's at their bottom. Who cares? What do you mean you're not Yotze? Let him do Truman. Don't say the bracha. So they bring a rye that it must be that bracha's at their isa. We don't paskin that way. So it must be my Rabbi Yehuda. So the author of this Mishnah has to be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That is, it says, Afil l'chachila, the person can't hear, cheresh is allowed to say bracha l'chachila. So if we establish that Rabbi Yehuda says on a l'chachila level, you don't have to hear the words, so we can't say our Mishnah in Megillah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, because otherwise you would not disqualify a cheresh. You would allow cheresh to read the Megillah.
How do we get that Rabbi Yehuda holds Afil l'chachila?
Because otherwise we have this Mishnah, we don't know the author of the Mishnah. Mishnah says lechachila, a cheresh could say duchuma.
Okay. So we have to, the only option is to give it to Rabbi Yehuda.
Right. So it's like late, but I feel bad. I'd rather finish this for tomorrow, but I don't know if we're gonna have time to finish this. Let's see. I don't want to get stuck in the middle of this sugya because it's a challenging sugya, but okay, fine. So Ella, Hadatani, the Braisa tells us that lo yivarech adam bebirkas hamazon belibo, the person shouldn't say bracha in his heart, just read the words, not really say the words. Person shouldn't do this. Vim birch yata, but if he does, he's yotze. Money, lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yossi. Who could it be? It can't be either one. I Rabbi Yehuda, afil lechachila. Yehuda says you could even say quietly lechachila. The Mishnah, this price says it only be the Eved does it work quietly. But lichachir and ir b'yosi afil b'dievet namilo. And according to b'yosi, even b'dievet is not going to work if you don't hear the words. So who's going to be the author of the brisa? It seems to be there is some person out there, some tana who thinks lichachila you should hear the words, b'dievet you don't have to hear the words. Somewhere in between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. So such an opinion exists. So Gemara says really liolam Rabbi Yehuda. Really it's Rabbi Yehuda. V'afil lichachila you're allowed to say the word silently. Like the Gemara tells us by Shabbat, by Shema, you could say them silently. There's a third opinion, who is what? There's Rabbi Yehuda himself, and then there's Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe. Those are three opinions. So, what are the opinions? The Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, in the name of his Rebbe, HaKori Es HaShema Tzarech Shi Yashmi Al Ozno, you have to hear the words, Shenemar Shema Yisrael Shem Elokein Shem Echad. Hashmi Al Ozno Ha Masha Tamot Mipicha, you have to say what you hear. Rabbi Meir Omer, Asher Nochi Mitzavcha Yom Alavavcha, Acha Kavanas Halev, Hein Hin Dvarim. So, no, you don't have to hear the words. You could simply just look at the words. You don't have to say them in your heart. You could say it in your mind. Now that we say this, so what happens is that the three opinions are as follows. Rabbi Yehuda says, L'chachila, you don't have to hear the words. And Rabbi Yosef says, B'dievet, you have to hear the words. And I guess his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, says, L'chachila, you have to hear the words. B'dievet, you don't have to hear the words. And Hashad, Aslachi, now that we've come to this point, Afil Tamer Rabbi Yehuda, Krabes Filei, and Rabbi Yehuda can be going according to his own Rebbe, which would be that what? I guess, right, that's what it would be, right? Exactly, right. I guess he would hold that way. And everything works out well. V'hat t'tani Yehuda b'rei d'Rav Shimon b'pazi Rabbi Meir hi. So let's look at this last Rashi there. Afil tamer Rabbi Yehuda. D'amar b'kriya shema yata d'yevet in l'chachilo. You can interpret that also, that only b'yevet does it work by shema, not hearing the words. U'mas nisen nami l'chachilo hu d'pasa l'cheresh Rabbi Yehuda hi. Also our mission by Megillah, only l'chachilo is it disqualified. V'hach the birchas mazon nami Rabbi Yehuda, in the opinion by benching that lichachili should hear the words, but b'dievet if you don't yote, that's all Rabbi Yehuda, and everything works out well. Okay.
So our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi was
the Rabbi Yehuda Rebbe. So Yehuda ben Pazi, I think, is a different.
We didn't mention Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi.
No, he's so.
By the Torah. By the case of the Torah that we said that yote lichachilo by Cheresh.
So that has to be according to Rabbi Meir. That's not Rabbi Yehuda. Uh-huh. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Meir, that's what it means. That he says, you even lichachila, you don't have to hear the words.
That statement of Shimon ben Pazi threw a wrench in us trying to make our mission of Rabbi Yehuda.
Right.
Because we said, oh, there's someone who says it's even lichachila, so how can you say lichachila and begin with both by Rabbi Yehuda? And now that we found Rabbi Meir for Shimon ben Pazi, Rabbi Yehuda can still be the author of the Mishnah. It's all Rabbi Yehuda, like we said.